Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Pasyatya Desha Tarane Trinadapi Sunichena Tarariva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Harinama 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 Iva Kivalam Kalo Nastyeva 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 Gatiranyata. We are having a Bhagavat Katha here at the home of Kamlesh Patel for the benefit of those on the internet. Currently we have 9 devotees, and in particular we have my good friend, my sponsor for my March trip to Santiago, Chile, Lavine Lakshman Das Magnani. And we also have Isabella and also Gopal. So those are the 3 logged in. So I'd like to welcome you all. And Kamlesh is having this program in connection with his birthday celebration, which is next Wednesday. Oh, good. So when I do my Bhagavad Gita class on Wednesday, I'll dedicate it to you as well. My dedication to you will be that you may continue to preach the glories of Bhagavad Gita for the rest of your life. How's that? So since we're here in this home of Kamlesh Patel, we should start the program by chanting the most important verse of Bhagavad Gita. Sarvadhamman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja ahang tvang sarva papebhyo mokshasyami mahuchaha. Krishna's instruction, commandment to Arjuna is that he abandon all considerations and simply surrender and take shelter of Krishna. Krishna guarantees that if Arjuna, and in that case any of us, do that, then he will deliver us from all sinful reactions. And the specific utterance of Krishna, ma shucha, means don't worry, don't hesitate, don't fear. So with that, we should definitely take shelter, as those in the Pushti Marg chant, Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama. I take shelter of Sri Krishna. Kamlesh has picked a particular chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the conversation between Uddhava and Vidura. This, of course, is after the battle of Kurukshetra and is after Krishna's disappearance. Krishna stayed on this earth planet for 125 years. We read in the Srimad Bhagavatam that he came at the request of Lord Brahma, the other demigods, and in particular Mother Earth, who had assumed the form of a cow. And she was crying because the world was overburdened by the unnecessary defense force of too many demoniac kings, and their ringleader was Kamsa. So Krishna agreed to come and rid the earth of all the demons, and simultaneously perform specific pastimes which would attract the future generations of devotees, because these would be described and narrated within the context of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the specific book in the age of Kali from which people will get shelter, direction, and salvation simply by taking shelter and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So it is a great occasion at any time to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. What is Srimad Bhagavatam? It is the description of Krishna and his devotees. That is Srimad Bhagavatam. And there are 12 cantos, and it contains 10 subject matters, culminating in the Samam Bonam, which is the description of Krishna's Janma Karma. Because in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Janma Karma Chame Divyam. Krishna says, my birth and my activities are all divine, transcendental. Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yoveti Tatpata. And one should know them. One should learn them factually. And that's what Srimad Bhagavatam does. It factually explains Krishna's birth and activities. Then Krishna says in that same verse, Evam yoveti tatvataha tyaktva dehang punar janma nayiti mam eti. My dear Arjuna, if you understand my birth and activities in truth, then you will not come back again to this material world of birth and death. But you will go to my abode, the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, where there are no anxieties. And tonight, as long as you have rapt attention, so as the signs indicate by our temple president, cell phones should be turned off so that we can have rapt attention and enter samadhi. So I hope we all can comply with the instructions of our GBC and temple president, Kamlesh Patel. So, after the battle of Kurukshetra, and after Krishna's disappearance, because just recently somebody was trying to argue with me that Krishna died. This lady was saying that Krishna got shot in the foot and was killed. Is that true? It's half true. Was he shot in the foot? But did he die? No. Did he go, owie, owie, owie? No. Because, as I explained to this woman, Krishna cannot die. He does not have a material body. His body is spiritual. And we learn from Bhagavad Gita, spiritual is eternal. If Krishna had a material body, that would be a different story. But Krishna is his body, and his body is spiritual, it's eternal. He cannot die. It's impossible. So even though he was shot in the foot, in the Bhagavatam, it's explained that the hunter who shot him, Krishna forgave him and delivered him, and he went back home, back to Godhead. That's my kind of God. Even you shoot him in the foot, he gives you salvation. He's not a vindictive God. Oh, you shot me in the foot, go to hell. Other gods may be like that, but not Krishna. Therefore, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Matak Paratanam Nanyat. There is no truth, there is no God superior to me. Welcome. Nice to see you. We're going to have a very nice Krishna Katha. So be comfortable, and I will try to make this program as nice as possible. So after Krishna's disappearance, Vidura was wandering, and he met up with Uddhava. Uddhava is a very special personality. He has a specific liberation. He looks almost like Krishna. When Uddhava went to Vrindavan with Krishna's message for the gopis at first thought Krishna had returned because he looks a lot like Krishna. But then they saw, oh, it's not Krishna. But they remarked, oh, I wonder who the fortunate girl is to have him as her husband because he looks like our Krishna. And Uddhava is very, 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 very intelligent, especially in giving counsel and political advice. Hare Krishna. Uddhava was once requested by Krishna to give some advice. And Uddhava's advice was that first we have to kill Jarasandha, then Yudhisthira can do the Rajasuya sacrifice. So that's what they did. Krishna, Bhim, Arjun went to Jarasandha disguised as Brahmins. And they begged charity from Jarasandha. And then in the talking, Krishna said, I'm not really a Brahmin. I am your old enemy, Krishna. And we have come here to fight. And Jarasandha said to Krishna, I'm not going to fight you. You ran away from me last time, Ranchor. Krishna's name, Ranchor. But did he actually run away? What did he want to do? Well, he did that already. But what was his real intention? He already did that. But what was his real intention? You're close. That was good. Yeah, that's good. But the main reason, marry Rukmini. He knew, Rukmini's about to send me a text message. She sent a letter. Krishna knew this was... So Krishna had already defeated... How many times did Krishna defeat Jarasandha? 17 times. So Krishna, hey, come on. No problem. But Rukmini, that's a priority. But Jarasandha took it that Krishna was afraid of him. And then he looked at Arjuna and he said, no. But he said, Bhima. Yes, Bhima. I will fight Bhima. So they fought for how many days? 28. 28 days they fought. Finally, Krishna gave the clue how to defeat Jarasandha. Because how was he born? Two pieces. So Krishna knew. And so Bhima was able to bifurcate Jarasandha. Then they were able to do the Rajasuya sacrifice. So it was Uddhava who gave that advice to Krishna. That first we must take care of Jarasandha and then Yudhisthira can do the Rajasuya sacrifice. Okay. So Uddhava plays an important role here in this section, because prior to Krishna's disappearance, Uddhava had approached Krishna and said, my Lord, I can understand that you're winding up your pastimes. And I can understand that I do not want to stay here. I want to go back with you. But Krishna said, no, I have service for you. I want to entrust pure devotional knowledge with you. So you should remain for some time and distribute. So even though Uddhava requested, Krishna said no. So prior to Krishna's disappearance, There was the Uddhava Gita, which is a series of questions. Uddhava asks Krishna questions and Krishna answers them. So it's many, many chapters in the 11th canto, the conversation between Uddhava and Krishna, which is referred to as the Uddhava Gita. So when Vidura was traveling, touring on pilgrimage, and then he hooked up with Uddhava, they had a nice conversation. And Uddhava went into samadhi, remembering different events and pastimes of Krishna. So he began with the Vrindavan Leela, and the chapter that Kamlesh requested is the pastimes of Krishna out of Vrindavan. So, if you are ready to hear, please confirm by chanting afterwards, repeating after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So Uddhava said to Vidura, thereafter, Lord Krishna went to Mathura city with Sri Baladev, and to please their parents, they dragged Kamsa, the leader of public enemies, down from his throne and killed him, pulling him along on the ground with great strength. So, actually, Kamsa had sent somebody to get Krishna. Who did he use? Who did Kamsa use to bring Krishna from Vrindavan to Mathura? Akura. Somebody has been reading. Very good. So when Kamsa asked Akura, he publicly said it. I want you to bring Krishna and Balaram so I can kill them. And he had a plan. He had that big elephant, Kuvalapida. He had that big bow. He had so many plans, and he also had a wrestling match. Somehow or other, Kamsa was going to kill Krishna. But as it turned out, who killed the elephant? Krishna. And as we just heard, Krishna killed Kamsa. So it was at this time Krishna was finally reunited with his quote-unquote real parents. Who are who? Devaki and Vasudev. For 11 years, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda were thinking that Krishna is their son. But now it's revealed. Because when Krishna was taken away, the residents of Vrindavan also came to see the wrestling match. Yashoda was there, Nanda, many of the cowherd boyfriends, many of the residents of Vrindavan were there. And so after the killing of Kamsa, it was then revealed Krishna is actually the son of Vasudev and Devaki. So Krishna told Nanda and Yashoda, you have taken such nice care of us, even though we weren't really your children. But now I think it's proper that I spend some time with my real parents. And Vasudev and Devaki heaped lots of praise on Nanda and Yashoda for taking care so nicely of Krishna. But it was agreed, Krishna would spend some time. So they stayed together, residents of Vrindavan, but after some time, it was time for everybody to return back to Vrindavan. And it was described that when Nanda, Yashoda, and all the residents of Vrindavan finally left Mathura to return to Vrindavan, they left with half their heart. Because the other half was still with Krishna. That's how powerful attraction for Krishna is. When there is love for Krishna, Nothing can break that. That attachment for Krishna is so great that even in so-called absence, you cannot forget Krishna. He's right here, right? Krishna is here. So then it says, the Lord learned all the Vedas with their different branches simply by hearing them once from his teacher. Who was his teacher? Say, I can't hear you. Sandipani Muni. Yes. Whom he rewarded by bringing back his dead son from the region of Yamaloka. So it is explained, for 64 days, Sandipani Muni instructed Krishna and Balaram. Krishna and Balaram shaved their heads. They had chika. They lived as brahmacharis in this gurukul of Sandipani Muni. They would learn something in the day, and at night they had it mastered. They had it mastered. 64 days. So when school was finished, Sandipani Muni's wife said something to her husband, because the system is that when you get knowledge from a teacher, you have to give dakshina. You have to give some offering of remuneration, showing your appreciation. In Vedic times, the teachers were not given a salary. They were given a dakshina, a reward. So Sandipani Muni's wife said, these two boys are not ordinary. So don't request something ordinary. So Sandipani Muni and his wife requested Krishna and Balaram, our son died and was taken by a demon in the ocean. You please bring our son back. So Krishna dove into the ocean and he found a demon living in the form of a conch shell, and he killed the demon. And that's how Krishna has that conch shell. What do you say? Yes, exactly. Panchajanya, mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. But when Krishna killed the demon, he didn't find the son. So Krishna came back and told Balaram, we killed this demon needlessly. So then they knew where to go. They then went to the abode of Yamaraj, as it says here, Yamaloka. And there they found the son, and Krishna requested Yamaraj, you please, my guru wants his son back. And of course Yamaraj was very pleased that he got this chance to see Krishna. Wouldn't you like it when you go to work on Monday, Krishna pays you a visit? You'd be so ecstatic. So Krishna took the son, returned to his parents, and then Sandipani Muni blessed Krishna and Balaram that whatever you speak will be as good as the vibrations of the Vedas, and whatever you speak will be true for all eternal time. And what book does Krishna speak, Rohan? What's Krishna's book that he speaks? Bhagavad Gita. Very good. And by the way, your mother is on the internet. How come she didn't come? You'd rather see on the internet? Well, that's good. So everyone say hello to Sudha on the internet. Especially her son. Yeah, very good. Hare Krishna, good choice of words. We now have 12 devotees online. So, very nice. And we have somebody from Detroit, from Chennai, Chile. They're all over. We'll see how many we get more. Hari Bol Jai. We are now hearing Krishna Leela. Uddhava is speaking to who? Who is Uddhava speaking to? Uddhava, no, Krishna has disappeared. You're not paying attention. Who's Krishna speaking to? Vidura. Attracted by the beauty and form of Rukmini, the daughter of King Bhishmaka, many great princes and kings assembled to marry her. But Lord Krishna, stepping over the other hopeful candidates, carried her away as his own share, just as Garuda carried away nectar. So it's explained, Rukmini wrote a letter, she gave it to a Brahmin, and in that letter, Rukmini poured her heart and said that I'm about to be married to Shishupal, but I heard about you, and as soon as I heard about you, I decided that only you should be my husband. And if I can't get you as my husband, and thou will take birth, and I will do austerities 100 births, just so that I can get you as my husband. Rukmini was so determined, I don't care how long it takes, but I must have you as my husband, just by hearing about Krishna. Just by hearing. So Krishna was very moved by Rukmini's letter. And Krishna arrived just on the... Because the letter said, Krishna, I'm being married tomorrow. You must come now. And Rukmini, being very smart, the princess, daughter of a king, she gave Krishna the hint. At a certain point, I will come out of the Durga temple. That would be the best time for you to come. And when Rukmini came out of the Durga temple, all the kings and princes who had arrived, when they saw Rukmini, she was so beautiful, they fell off their horses. That's how beautiful she was. We use the word stunning. It was like, oh! They fell off their horses. And then Krishna came, put her on his chariot, bye-bye, and rode off into the sunset. Shishupal, who was supposed to marry Rukmini, didn't do anything. What a chump. What kind of kshatriya? He's supposed to marry this girl. He doesn't do anything. Loser. But Rukmini, the instigator, because everybody in the family wanted Krishna to marry Rukmini. Only Rukmini said, no, I want her to marry Shishupal. And her father gave in, because Rukmini was the older brother. But everybody actually wanted Krishna to marry Rukmini, and they were praying. So when Rukmini saw that Krishna had taken his sister away, Rukmini went after and tried to defeat Krishna, but he was defeated. And he was about to be killed when Rukmini pleaded with Krishna, no, don't kill my brother. So Krishna took his sword, snipped at his mustache, snipped at his hair, and made him look funny and odd looking. Then Baladev came and instructed Rukmini and Krishna. By subduing 7 bulls, whose noses were not pierced, the Lord achieved the hand of Princess Nagnijiti in the open competition to select her bridegroom. Although the Lord was victorious, his competitors asked the hand of the princess, and thus there was a fight, well equipped with weapons. The Lord killed or wounded all of them, but he himself was not hurt. So it was explained that these bulls were very, very wild. They were not tamed bulls. They were very wild. And many people had tried to subdue them and were defeated. So Krishna, being God, how did he do it? He made 7 Krishnas. And 1 Krishna for each bull defeated them. That is why Krishna is the supreme. he can do things like that. Just to please his dear wife, the Lord brought back the Parijata tree from heaven, just as an ordinary husband would do. But Indra, the king of heaven, induced by his wives, henpecked as he was, ran after the Lord with full force to fight him. So this wife that he got the Parijata was for Satyabhama. Satyabhama had an inferiority complex. Because Rukmini had the Parijata flower in her garden. Remember, every wife had her own palace. Krishna was married to only how many? 16,108 wives only. And each wife had her own palace. Rukmini in her palace, in her garden, had a Parijata flower. Satyabhama was thinking, oh, Krishna likes her more than me. So Krishna had taken Satyabhama with him to the heavenly planets to return some items to Indra and Mother Aditi. So after it was all over, Krishna remembered that Satyabhama had this inferiority complex. So he took the whole plant, because Krishna didn't want to take just a flower. He said, no, you should get flower every day. So he plucked the plant. But Indra said, hey, what are you doing? Can't do this. This is property of the heavenly planets. Just see, Krishna had done so much for Indra, and he's so ungrateful that he won't allow Krishna to take a plant. So there was a fight. Who do you think won? Krishna. Because Krishna is Ajita. Everyone say, he's undefeatable. Nobody can defeat him. So then when Indra was defeated, he said, okay, yes, yes, please take, thank you. Notice, Uddhava said that Indra was henpecked. Because people sometimes think Krishna was henpecked. You may say Krishna was henpecked. But he did that to keep the peace. He has to keep 16,108 wives happy. We can barely do one each. He had to do six. So Krishna is teaching us, yes, he pretends, he makes them believe he is henpecked, but he was not henpecked. Because it was described, every day the rooster would crow before sunrise. When I was in Arizona many years ago, they have some rooms there at the Tucson Temple, and right behind the rooms they have peacocks, roosters, all kinds of animals, and sure enough, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, you hear that rooster loud. You don't need an alarm clock. That rooster is loud. So I'd be singing Hare Krishna. So Krishna would get up when the rooster crows. And even though Krishna is being embraced by the goddess of fortune herself, Krishna immediately gets up, washes his hands and feet, and begins his morning sadhana. And Prabhupada comments that we should also rise early in the morning and perform meditation on Radha and Krishna. And that meditation on Radha Krishna is known as Hare Krishna. Come on. All right, now, who is our pujari for today? Who would like to be today's pujari? We need a volunteer. You'll do the offering. Okay, at 7 o'clock, please do the offering. Who wants to do the arti? Anybody inspired to do the arti? Yes or no? All right, you're in charge of the arti. Offering arti. Let's give them a hand. Very good. And we have some new devotees online. Sudha says Hare Krishna to everybody. And now we have my good friend Mark Larange, and we also have Kavita. Very good. Let us continue. Are you liking this katha? You happy with it? Am I giving you what you want? No, if there's something you don't like, tell me. I can change. Okay. All right. We have 16 devotees online. Very nice. Narakasura, the son of Daritri, the earth, tried to grasp the whole sky, and for this he was killed by the Lord in a fight. His mother then prayed to the Lord. This led to the return of the kingdom of the son of Narakasura, and thus the Lord entered the house of the demon. So that Narakasura is also known as Balbasura. There in the house of the demon, all the princesses kidnapped by Narakasura at once became alert upon seeing the Lord, the friend of the distressed. They looked upon him with eagerness, joy, and shyness, and offered to be his wives. Yes, Prabhupada explains that the social structure was so strict that if a girl, unmarried girl, was out of the house for more than 3 days, nobody would agree to marry. So, these girls had been kidnapped by Balmasura. So when Krishna went there, they all looked at him, and he said, "What do you want?" And they said, "No one will marry us." So Krishna said, "Okay, come on." 16,108 princesses he took back with him to Dwaraka. So he had the first eight. Let's see if we can remember the eight. Rukmini, Satyabhama, Jambavati, Mitravinda, Kalindi, Satya, Lakshmana, Bhadra. Those are the eight. Then, in one wholesale Black Friday shopping, 16,100. That's all Krishna married. Yeah, the girls knew. No, because they were all together, they all said, yes. He took them all at one time, brought them, and married them in one big ceremony in Dwaraka. Big vivaha. Very nice. Okay, we have a message from the producer. Yes, and Kala Sabapati in Detroit. All right. All those princesses were lodged in different apartments, and the Lord simultaneously assumed different bodily expansions, exactly matching each and every princess. He accepted their hands in perfect rituals by his internal potency, and that's important. Krishna does not have anything in his lila dealing with the material energy. When Krishna acts, he acts in the superior spiritual energy. This is a very important point. Even Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says that the material energy is inferior. So Krishna, he deals with the superior internal energy. So there is no materiality in Krishna Lila. So whatever he does, it is by that yoga maya or spiritual potency, whether it be the rasa dance or marrying 16,108 queens. All these are Krishna's dealings with the spiritual potency. Just to expand himself according to his transcendental features, the Lord begot in each and every one of them 10 offspring with exactly his own qualities. And then Prabhupada said, each of those sons had 10 sons. And I read that although Krishna had 10 sons with each wife, he also had one daughter. And the one daughter that I know of, from Rukmini, Charu Mati. That's what I remember. So Krishna's family is quite extensive. 11 children with each wife, and then each of those sons has 10 sons. Kaliyavana, the king of Magadha and Shalva, attacked the city of Mathura. But when the city was encircled by their soldiers, the Lord refrained from killing them personally, just to show the power of his own men. So we already mentioned that when Krishna performed the pastime of Ranchorji. It was mentioned Kaliyavana was trying to catch up to Krishna. Krishna was just walking through the battlefield. Kaliyavana was trying to capture him, but he couldn't. No matter how he tried, he couldn't capture Krishna. And Prabhupada makes the point, that's because Kaliyavana was too sinful. If you want to capture Krishna, you have to be pure. So Kaliyavana was sinful, therefore no matter how he tried, he couldn't capture Krishna. And then Krishna took him into a cave, and Kaliyavana saw somebody sleeping. And he thought it was Krishna pretending. So he kicked him. Come on, get up, I want to fight. That was a big mistake, because it wasn't Krishna. It was who? Who was it? I can't hear you. Muchukunda, yes. Krishna knew about Muchukunda, that he had gotten a benediction. That benediction was given to him, I think, by Skanda, Kartikeya, that I want to sleep for a long time. If anybody disturbs my sleep, I want to be able to kill them. So Kaliyavana didn't know, but Krishna knew. So when Kaliyavana kicked him, then Muchukunda became angry. And he looked at Kaliyavana, and he was burnt to ashes. But it was explained, Prabhupada makes the point, actually, Kaliyavana was not killed by the glance of Muchukunda. He was killed by the reactions of his own sinful activities. That's what really killed him. Same way it's described when the sons of Sagara accused Kapila Dev of stealing the horse from the sacrifice. It wasn't that Kapila Dev burned them to ashes. They also, their bodies burnt up due to their own envy and sinful mentality. Because if you're pure, your purity will protect you. So that's why we say in ISKCON, purity is the force. We try to remain pure as far as possible, because the purity, that's our force, which keeps us protected. Of kings like Shambhara, Dvivida, Bana, Mura, Bulvala, and many other demons, such as Dantavakra, some he killed himself, and some he caused to be killed by others, such as Sri Baladev. So, Dvivida, he was killed by Balaram, right? What form was Dvivida? Dvivida. Gorilla. Yes. Did he kill Banasura? Did Krishna kill Bana? Did he kill Banasura? What did he do? He cut off 996 arms, left him with 4. Who was protecting Banasura? Lord Shiva. Yes. So he didn't kill Bana. And he killed the Mura demon, Bulvala. Who killed Bulvala? Balaram, yes. Bulvala was flying in the sky. And Balaram pulled him down with his plow and then smashed him with his club. Ovadura, the Lord caused all the kings, both the enemies and those on the side of your fighting nephews, to be killed in the battle of Kurukshetra. All those kings were so great and strong that the earth seemed to shake as they traversed the war field. So, that's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna told Arjuna when he showed the universal form that Arjuna saw everybody was entering the mouths of the universal form and they were being smashed within his teeth. And Krishna even said, everyone is dying except you five Pandavas. Everyone is being destroyed. Duryodhan was bereft of his fortune and duration of life because of the intricacy of ill advice given by Karna, Dushasan, and Saubala. And when he lay on the ground with his followers, his thighs broken, although he was powerful, the Lord was not happy to see that scene. So that was in the battle of Kurukshetra. At the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, the Lord said. So this again, Uddhava is relating all of this to Vidura. So now, Uddhava is relating to Vidura something confidential. As he says here, at the end of the battle, the Lord said. So this is Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. This is Krishna speaking. The abatement of the earth's great burden, 18 akshahinis, has now been effected with the help of Drona, Bhishma, Arjuna, and Bhim. But what is this? There is still the great strength of the Yadu dynasty, born of myself, which may be a more unbearable burden. So, in the beginning, I revealed to you how Mother Earth had come to Brahma, complaining about how she was feeling too much burden because of all the demons. But notice what Krishna is saying. Yes, he has taken care of all the demons, but now his own dynasty will be another burden on the earth. So Krishna then speaks further. When they quarrel among themselves, influenced by intoxication, with their eyes red like copper, because of drinking, then only will they disappear. Otherwise, it will not be possible. On my disappearance, this incident will take place. So this is explained in the 11th canto, what Uddhava is relating to what Krishna said. That the Yadu dynasty was cursed because Samba and his friends tried to joke with some rishis. And they were joking. Samba was dressed to look like a pregnant woman. So they joked with some sages and said, oh, can you tell us what this lady is going to give birth to? So don't joke with sadhus. Wrong idea. With sadhus, don't joke. As you see, they became angry. They said, yes, she will give birth to that which will destroy your whole family. And the young boys became very scared and they took away the sari that Samba was wearing. And he had this huge club which he was using to make himself look pregnant. So they went to King Ugrasena. And King Ugrasena did not want to get Krishna involved. He tried to take care of it in-house, as we say. So King Ugrasena ordered this club should be filed and ground to bits. So they did that. They took and they filed it and ground it down, and it became a huge heap of iron filings. And then there was one piece left. For some reason, they said, okay. So they took that iron filings and that last bit left over, and they threw it into the river or the ocean. And those iron filings grew as reeds. And that last bit was swallowed by a fish. And that fish was captured and made into an arrow taken by the hunter Jirah. And with that arrow, Jirah, thinking he was shooting an animal, shot Krishna in the foot. Did Krishna die? No. We already explained that at the beginning. Why Krishna cannot die? What did I say? Why Krishna cannot die? He is eternal. Yes. Again, he's spiritual. By very definition, sat. It's spiritual is sat chit ananda. So how can, if something's eternal, how can it die? The material body, that's not sat. That's asat. Not eternal. Yes, the body dies because it's material. But Krishna's whole existence is spiritual. This is a very fundamental, transcendental subject matter. Krishna's body is spiritual. It cannot die. Krishna's body is eternal. All right, continuing. Oh, one important point here. In all the Yadu dynasty, so after the curse, there was much talk. Word got around that the family has been cursed. So Krishna gathered everyone together and said, now we must go to a holy place, Pravasekhara. And we must worship the Brahmins, cows, and demigods. We must atone for this offense. But at the ceremony, there was some liquor. And because they were Kshatriyas, they drank this liquor and became intoxicated. And when they became intoxicated, they started to joke. And in their joking, they started to use certain kind of abusive language. It started off as a joke, but it turned into real accusations. Because that's what happens under intoxication. You say and do things that you don't really mean. Many, many years ago, one time while I was on Sankirtan, I would have from time to time, if I would get arrested or whatever, I would have conversations with police. So in my questions with them, I found out from police, they told me most crimes are committed under the influence of intoxication, and many crimes are committed amongst family members and relatives. And they also said, full moon, people go crazy. One police said, have you ever worked in a mental asylum? Full moon comes, treacherous. So the Yadu dynasty became delirious. And they started to criticize each other. Then they started to actually fight amongst each other. Really fight and hurt each other. And at one point they grabbed those canes that grew from the iron filings. And as soon as they touched the canes, they became iron rods. And they were striking each other. And they even attacked Krishna and Balaram. That's the problem with intoxication. You don't know what you're doing. You're completely mad. Can you believe it? They were attacking Krishna and his own family. Just think about it. Your two boys. Huh? We were like, what? What happened? Yes. Krishna's own family started to fight amongst each other, and they even attacked Krishna and Balaram. So Krishna and Balaram were going and killing their family members. They all died. And then Balaram produced a white snake from his mouth, got on that snake, returned back home, back to Godhead. Then Krishna sat under a tree. Lord Sri Krishna, thus thinking to himself, established Maharaj Yudhisthira in the position of supreme control in order to show the ideal of administration on the path of piety. The whole battle of Kurukshetra was fought so that Yudhisthira could be king. And after, what was Yudhisthira thinking? Oh, I feel so bad. This whole war, millions of people died because of me. Yudhisthira was thinking, I'm now sinful. And even Krishna and even Vyasadeva couldn't change Yudhisthira's mind. Yudhisthira was thinking, I am so responsible. But Krishna took Yudhisthira to somebody who did convince him that everything was all right. Who did he take him to? Who did Krishna take Yudhisthira to? Bhishma, who's lying where? Bed of arrows. Forget about your sleep master bed. Bed of arrows. And it was Bhishma who convinced Yudhisthira. He said, nobody knows the plan of Lord Sri Krishna. You may be a great thinker. You may think you're so intelligent. Nobody can understand the plan of Lord Sri Krishna. Nobody. And Bhishma said, for whatever reason, Krishna wants you to be the ruling king, accept it. This is Krishna's plan for you. Just accept it. So in the same way, you will get opportunities. You will get situations where you can serve Krishna. Take it. Go for it. If you're given an opportunity, just like I asked, who could do the offering? She, intelligence, yes. So when you get an opportunity to do service, take it. Take it because that is Krishna's plan for you. When there's an opportunity for service, take it. All right, let's continue. The embryo of Puru's descendant, begotten by the great hero Abhimanyu in the womb of Uttara, his wife. So who were they talking about? Maharaj Pariksit. I didn't know you were so knowledgeable. I'm glad you sat up front. Very good. I'm very impressed. Very good. Was burnt by the weapon of the son of Drona. Who's the son of Drona? Ashvatthama. Good. But later he was again protected by the Lord. Yes, Uttara prayed to Krishna, my Lord, a fiery arrow is coming. Let it kill me, but protect the baby in my womb. That is exalted. She said, it's okay if I die, but my baby must live. This is exalted consciousness. So Krishna immediately circled the embryo. And Ashvatthama's weapon was neutralized and foiled. Krishna's superior energy defeated the invincible Brahmastra. And the child in the womb could see somebody is saving him. So when the child came out, he spent the rest of his life. Were you the one that saved? Were you the one that saved? Were you the one that... Did he ever find? No. Because Krishna had already left. But he spent the rest of his life examining Parikshit. He wanted to see who was that person who saved me in the womb. He did see him after when he gave up his body because Parikshit went back home, back to Godhead. The Supreme Lord induced the son of Dharma. Who's the son of Dharma? Maharaj Yudhisthira, to perform 3 horse sacrifices and constantly following Krishna, protected and enjoyed the earth, assisted by his younger brothers. So who is his younger brothers? Bhima, Arjun, Nakul, Sahadev. And we have the incarnations of Nakul and Sahadev right here. Right? Radha Krishna Das, you gave them, you initiated them. Last week, Radha Krishna Das initiated these 2 boys and gave them the names Nakul and Sahadev. Is that all right, boys? You still have your other names, but you're his disciples now, so you have to follow his instructions. Simultaneously, the personality of Godhead enjoyed life in the city of Dwarka, strictly in conformity with Vedic customs. He was situated in detachment and knowledge, as enunciated by the Sankhya system of philosophy. He was there in his transcendental body, as I've been mentioning. Krishna was in his transcendental body, not material body. The residence of the goddess of fortune. Where is the goddess of fortune on Krishna's body? No. Chess, what's that mark called? Sri Vatsa. Yes, she is always at his feet. But in terms of on his body, the marks of Sri Vatsa indicate that on Krishna's chest resides the goddess of fortune, Sri Vatsa. With his usual gentle and sweetly smiling face. Does Krishna have a gentle and sweetly smiling face here? Yes. His nectarian words and his flawless character. Yes, these are a sample of Krishna's qualities, his nectarian words. If I wanted to read Krishna's nectarian words, what book would I read? Very good boy, Bhagavad Gita. Excellent. The Lord enjoyed his pastimes both in this world and in other worlds, specifically in the association of the Yadu dynasty. At leisure hours offered by night, he enjoyed the friendship of conjugal love with women. The Lord was thus engaged in household life for many, many years, but at last his detachment from ephemeral sex life was fully manifested. So this is Uddhava now winding up this chapter. He has been describing pastimes of Krishna out of Vrindavan to Vidura. Now he is giving some important purports. This one is very, very significant. Every living entity is controlled by a supernatural force, and thus one's sense enjoyment is also under the control of that supernatural force. So that we should always remember. We are not in complete control. Every one of us, our happiness, our enjoyment is controlled by Krishna. No one can therefore put faith in Lord Krishna's transcendental sense activities unless one has become a devotee of the Lord by rendering devotional service. Same thing Krishna says. What are the two qualifications to understand Bhagavad Gita? Devotee and friend. Who said that? Excellent. What's the Sanskrit line in Bhagavad Gita? Bhaktosi me saka cheti. Everyone say that. These are the only two qualifications to understand Bhagavad Gita. Not PhD. No. Nowhere in the Bhagavad Gita does Krishna say, first you must learn Sanskrit. First you must have a PhD. No. You must have two qualifications. Krishna's devotee and Krishna's friend. How many of you, in humility, consider yourself Krishna's devotee? In humility. No? You're not Krishna's devotee? Well, then raise your hand. Both have to be there. I'm asking one first. I want to see if we have both qualifications. Or maybe I should... Okay. You know you're Krishna's devotee if you read Bhagavad Gita. How many of you read Bhagavad Gita? All right. How many of you chant Krishna's name? Then you're a devotee. Now, to be Krishna's friend, how many of you do things to please Krishna? Then you're Krishna's friend. How many of you want to kill Krishna? Then you're not his enemy. So you're Krishna's devotee and Krishna's friends. It's okay. I said in humility. I know someone's going to say, but Prabhupada said, we didn't think of ourselves as a devotee. We're a devotee of the... I know. That's one angle of vision. Okay? But from another angle of vision, you can say to yourself, yes, I'm Krishna's devotee. I was speaking about this the other night. I was saying that everybody is a devotee of somebody. Like I know many people, they're devotees of Kobe Bryant or Lady Gaga or Michael Caine. You see on their lawns, Michael Caine, they're a devotee of Michael Caine. Everybody's a devotee of something or the dollar bill. So, being a devotee means you're into Krishna. Everybody's into something. Sports, politics. They're into something. We should be into Krishna. That's what it means to be Krishna's devotee. You're into Krishna. And you're Krishna's friend because you're not against him. You're on his team. You're on his side. Yeah, go Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So, another way you can know that you're a devotee, as it was said here by Uddhava, you become a devotee by rendering devotional service. So there are how many kinds of devotional service? Nine. What's the first one? Hearing. Are you hearing? Then you're a devotee. You're not watching the football games at home. You're not watching Bollywood. Right? You came here. You're hearing about Krishna. That means you're rendering devotional service. How many of you are chanting? Good. Then you're Krishna's devotee. How many of you remember Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's name, fame, form? How many of you remember that throughout the day? Yes, then you're a devotee. How many of you do arti at home? Then you're Krishna's devotee. If you do 1, 2, 3, 4, as many of the 9 devotional items, then you're Krishna's devotees. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra one time. So then, because I already explained a lot of it, Uddhava describes to Vidura the Maushala Leela, the annihilation of Krishna's family and Krishna returning back home, back to Godhead. So now, Uddhava tells Vidura, the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, foreseeing the end of his family by his internal potency, went to the bank of the river Sarasvati, sipped water, and sat down underneath a tree. The Lord is the vanquisher of distress of one who was surrendered unto him. That's what Krishna says, 1866. Right? He says, Ahang tvang sarva papyebhyo mokshayishyami. Yeah, mokshayishyami. I will deliver you. You're getting delivered from distress when you surrender to Krishna. He told me previously to go to Bhadarik Ashram. Yet in spite of my knowing his desire, I followed him because it was impossible for me to bear separation from the lotus feet of my master. So even though Krishna told him, Uddhava was feeling too attached, out of love, couldn't leave. Thus following, I saw my patron and master, Lord Sri Krishna, sitting alone and deeply thinking, taking shelter on the bank of the river Sarasvati, although he is the shelter of the goddess of fortune. The Lord's body is blackish. So here you have a first-hand account of the color of God's body. Blackish. I'm not making this up. I'm reading right from the text. Blackish. This is what Uddhava said. He is your, reporter. Krishna says right here, the Lord's body is blackish. Ish. Okay? But is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. And very, very beautiful. His eyes are always peaceful, and they are reddish like the rising morning sun. So now you get an idea of how God looks. This is what's so great about Bhagavatam. You get a first-hand account of somebody who has seen, who's been there, and he's telling you. I could immediately recognize him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his four hands, different symbolic representations, and yellow silk garments. So he was manifesting his forearm form to Uddhava, not his two-handed flute form. The Lord was sitting, taking rest against the young banyan tree, with his right lotus feet on his left thigh. All right, you got that? His right lotus feet. So you got that same position? He's not imitating Krishna. It's okay. Don't accuse, you're imitating Krishna. You think you're Krishna, huh? No, it's okay. Although he had left all household comforts, he looked quite cheerful in that posture. He looks pretty cheerful in that posture. At that time, after traveling in many parts of the world, Maitreya, a great devotee of the Lord, and a friend and well-wisher of the great sage Krishna Dvaitpayana Vyas, reached that spot out of his own perfect accord. Maitreya was greatly attached to the Lord, and he was listening in a pleasing attitude, with his shoulder lowered. With a smile and particular glance upon me, having allowed me to rest, the Lord spoke as follows. So now Uddhava is going to get personal instruction from his Lord and Master. Let's see what Krishna tells Uddhava. O Vasu, I know from within your mind what you desired in the days of yore, when the Vasus and other demigods, responsible for expanding the universal affairs, performed sacrifices. You particularly desired to achieve my association. So how many of you particularly desire Krishna's association? Very good. Very good. Excellent. Excellent. You particularly desire to achieve my association, but this is very difficult to obtain. But I award it unto you. O honest one, your present life is the last and supermost, because in this term of life, you have been awarded my ultimate favor. Now you can go to my transcendental abode, Vaikuntha, by leaving this universe of conditioned living entities. Wow. He's being told by Krishna, you're going back. Oh, that would be, could you imagine tomorrow Krishna telling you, this is your last. You're going back. How would you feel? Yes, ready to go. Very good. Not that, oh, Krishna, wait, I got to do a few more things. No. If Krishna says, ready to go, let's go. Krishna, take us all back now. Didn't happen. I got to try harder. One day, we'll do that. Krishna, take us all back home. Your visit to me in this lonely place, because of your pure and unflinching devotional service, is a great boon for you. O Uddhava, in the lotus millennium, in the days of yore, at the beginning of the creation, I spoke unto Lord Brahma, who is situated on the lotus that grows out of my navel. Which form of Krishna is Krishna referring to? Which Narayan? Specifically, Brahma is born from who? Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. That form of Krishna. That is a form of Narayan. That is absolutely correct. But I want to see if you knew more specific, because you've been really good all day. Very good. You've been so good, I'm going to give you this at the end of the program as a reward, because you were very good today with answering questions. Definitely. I spoke to Brahma about my transcendental glories, which the great sages describe as Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's what Krishna spoke to Uddhava just before Krishna left for his abode. So now Uddhava says to Vidura, O Vidura, when I was thus favored at every moment by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and addressed by him with great affection, my words failed in tears, and the hairs of my body erupted. After smearing my eyes with folded hands, I spoke like this. So this is Uddhava's response to Krishna. O Lord, devotees who engage in the transcendental loving service of your lotus feet have no difficulty in achieving anything within the realm of the four principles of religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. But as far as I am concerned, I have preferred only to engage in the loving service of your lotus feet. So what kind of devotee is Uddhava? Unbelievable. Excellent. Excellent. My Lord, even the learned sages become disturbed in their intelligence when they see that you engage in fruitive work, although you are free from all desires, that you take birth, although you are unborn, that you flee out of the fear of enemy and take shelter in a fort, although you are the controller of invincible time, or that you enjoy household life surrounded by many women, although you enjoy in yourself. So that would be that statement by Uddhava. That would make a great lecture in itself. I wonder if I should do that Sunday. Note to self. Think about that for Sunday. I would love to repeat that. Thank you. My Lord, even learned sages become disturbed in their intelligence when they see that you engage in fruitive work, although you are free from all desires. That you take birth, even though you're unborn. That you flee out of fear of the enemy and take shelter in a fort, although you are the controller of invincible time. And that you enjoy householder life surrounded by many women, although you enjoy in yourself. In other words, paradox. Uddhava is seeing from one angle of vision, it seems paradoxical. Oh my Lord, your eternal self is never divided by the influence of time. There is no limitation to your perfect knowledge. Thus, you were sufficiently able to consult with yourself, yet you called upon me for consultation. I mentioned this at the beginning. If you recall, Krishna asked Uddhava to advise them how to deal with Jarasandha and the Rajasuya sacrifice. That's what Uddhava is referring to. You called upon me for consultation as if bewildered, although you are never bewildered. And this act of yours bewilders me. My Lord, kindly explain to us, if you think us competent to receive it, transcendental knowledge which gives enlightenment about yourself, which you explained before to Brahmaji. So that's what Uddhava said to Krishna. Now, Uddhava is again referring now to Vidura. When I thus expressed my heartfelt desires unto the personality of Godhead, the lotus-eyed Lord instructed me about his transcendental situation. I have studied the path of understanding self-knowledge from my spiritual master, the personality of Godhead. Wow. Uddhava can say that Krishna is his guru. Pretty good. Pretty good. And thus, after circumambulating him, I have come to this place, very much aggrieved due to separation. My Vidura, now I am mad for want of the pleasure of seeing him. And just to mitigate this, I am now proceeding to the Bhadarik Ashram in the Himalayas, as I have been instructed by him. There in Bhadarik Ashram, the personality of Godhead, in his incarnation as the sages Nara and Narayan, have been undergoing great penance since time immemorial for the welfare of all amiable living entities. And that concludes. I actually included a little bit of the next chapter. So, thank you, Kamlesh, for allowing me this ecstasy to dive into the Lord's pastimes out of Vrindavan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.